Amen. Ja, akkurat så här. Ja, men, thanks. I just want to say thanks to Mike Radigan. I was, you know, sometimes in worship, if it feels like it's hard to go somewhere. And this morning when I walked in, even when you guys were practicing, I could just sense there was something different this morning of a faith in what we were singing, and you really led us into the presence of God, Bruce. So thank you so much. It was incredible. And where's Ruel? There's somewhere, Ruel, there, Bruce. Man, you've been such a blessing. I need to tell you guys a story. So we actually met him by accident, as far as I know. And but so Bari and I, when we headed up to Jabo, we stayed by Morneini Arena in Mossel Bay, and he was staying there that night, and that's actually how we met him. And I think he met one of a Josh Jenner on a plane or something, and that's how I found out about the church. And but there was something unique. Even I've never heard a finance teaching like that this morning. And it really encouraged me. So you're a big blessing to us this morning, Bruce. So thank you so much for visiting us. And I believe the word, gonna just a word about the creative gifts to God. I think he really hit it on the head, because we I could just, from a musician side, okay, we're in a season where my biggest prayer at the moment is for musicians in the church, because we do have a need. And you'll see like a guy like Marshall, he's here every Sunday on band, and he smokes it. But I think I'm just praying to God, and I said, Lord, there must be more of us. There must be more who can minister unto the Lord. And I love Gary Willicott is starting to play guitar, which is like, man, I'm gonna keep him going on that. And Dylan, I'm gonna resurrect that guitar playing. But I do wanna say, I think it was the Lord that said there's more of us. Don't settle just because we have a Mike and a Marcel and a Michael on drums, but like there's something that we can bring. Is that cool? All right. Man, I don't know where to go. I did have something in mind, but this morning, don't you just feel like it was life? It felt like we were in the river this morning, né? And I want to say, just for me personally, this week we've had Jonathan Conroth here, and I'll be very honest. Okay, Tuesday morning I rocked up there, and I had zero expectation. Like I was just like, I saw my schedule, and it was just full, and I was just in cope mode and saying, I'm just going to hit this week and sit through every meeting and like go for it. And the Lord caught me by surprise on Tuesday. Okay, and he ministered over us. And I'm going to be real with you. Like for me, I don't know if I've shared it in the past, but there was a time where I really walked in the gifts and miracles. And I mean, I don't know how much I've shared with you guys, but there was even a time where someone walked through my shadow and they got healed. And it was full on active. And then there was just a time where I think unbelief crept in and maybe disobedience, and it's like the gift just left. And I've ever since, it's been 6 years, and I've been crying out to God. I said, Lord, I've repented. I've been unfaithful. I didn't believe you. I want it again, but it's just been hard. Okay, this is me being real with you. And I'm serious. I struggled to have faith to pray for someone with a cold. And I've been praying for someone, and I'm being real now, okay? And I've already been thinking about the reason I'm going to give them why the Lord didn't heal them. And this week when he ministered over us, it was like it was to the elders and lead elders, and he just said, guys, you created a theology on the 2% of why God didn't heal that time, and you're forgetting the 98% of when he wants to. And he said, you need to renounce unbelief, and you need to trust for importation of faith. And it was the weirdest thing. Grant Baker and myself was there, but I'm telling you, I stood there, and it felt like the wind of God was blowing through me. It's like I could sense it. Like it felt like there was a wind blowing through me, and I could just feel God blowing away pain and disappointment and unbelief and filling me with faith. And it's been years since I've prayed for someone and seen someone healed. Okay, and I believe it. I believe God wants to, but it's just been a long time. And last night we were at a braai with Altus and Anel, and Johan and Mariska, is it okay if I share? Like we were sharing just like what the Lord has done, and we're seeing so many healings this week and whatever. And he's sitting there and listening to all of this, and he says, "Hey, my knee is really sore. Would you pray for me?" And I was like, there was that moment where I was like,
I don't know.
and we were just like, Lord, at your word, we'll do it. And we prayed for him, and the pain left his knee. There was still the clicking, but the pain was gone. And I was like, I don't know who was more amazed, me or him, but I was like, no way. And she, Marlies, said, I have a vertebral, like whatever that is in English, a vertebra or whatever, okay, that shifted. And she couldn't even tie her shoes that morning. Someone else had to tie it. And she just had pain. And Marcel and myself and a couple, we were there and we prayed for her. And after, like Mike said this morning, two, three, four times, she could bend down. And her back was fine. And last night was the first time in 6 years that I saw the Lord move. And yeah, man. I just want to say it felt like I came alive. And I believe that the Lord, just that word that He brought, He wants to resurrect us, man. And the prophetic word that, or the tongue that Barry brought, just something, I think it lines up with what Dylan brought. But I just felt the Lord say to us, it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. I felt some of us were, when some of us are just at a place, and maybe even for some of the leaders, I feel this, like the thought of church, when you think about church, you think, oh. And if that is in your heart, I want to trust you. I want to urge you to trust the Lord that you can dream again. That the thought of church and the thought about God, it psychs us up. I couldn't wait to be here this morning. But the Lord has done something last night, and He's done something this week. And I want to urge you, man, if there's just thought about church of another thing, or I want to urge you, get to the Lord and trust Him to resurrect that we can dream again. Forget the disappointments. Forget the hurt. Like, don't dwell on that. Dream. Amen? All right. That was not part of my preach, but I want to encourage you lastly just with that. Jonathan Conrath is ministering today in Edgemead AM and PM. And I want to urge you guys, just he's a guy from the UK, he's a fivefold evangelist gift, really ministered, really anointed in the gifts and miracles and activation of faith. And I want to urge you, just leaders, I know we have a meeting tonight, so sorry, okay? But for the rest, guys, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been under his ministry, or if you have, tonight, 5 p.m. at Edgemead, I want to urge you, get there, all right? I can just tell you what it did in my life this week. I want to say it's well worth it. Take as many unsaved friends as you can and get there. All right, I believe that the Lord is doing something. And this week, on Thursday, when we had that combined com, He just urged us to invite unsaved people. And you know, when you're full of faith for something, I sat in the one meeting and I didn't listen to much what he was saying, okay? Because I started messaging, and I messaged 43 people that I knew didn't know the Lord. All right. And that was in the vicinity of 30 km, okay? And I just risked with the Lord, man. And there was this tug of war in my heart, like, Lord, I'm going to have to see these people again. I don't even know if they know what I do. But I haven't crossed that bridge yet. And I just said, Lord, at your word, I'm going to do it. And I invited 43 people, I don't know if I should say this, including my father-in-law, okay? And I phoned my wife in. I said, babes, I feel I need to do this. Is it okay even if it backfires, okay? And she said, yes. And I did it, man. And it backfired. But it's okay, all right? And I just risked with the Lord. And out of 43 people, one came, but they got saved, okay? And so I want to urge you, like, for me this morning, I looked at this, and some of you might not have seen it before, but some of us have seen it, but we get lots of it. And for me this morning, this side, it broke my heart that it's so little. It's been a year that we've had this year, and we have, for those of you who don't know, these are names that we, the people that we're personally trusting for the Lord to save. And in a year's time, I think we can count 10, 12, 15 maybe. I said, Lord, that is not right. Lord, we need more. We need more. And I wanna urge you. Mike said something this morning in prayer meeting that was so classic. He said, there were those days where we were scared to invite people to church because we were scared what the Lord is going to do. But recently, it's like we're not that scared anymore because it should be okay. All right? I want us to be scared again. All right? To invite people and we're like, flip, I wonder what the Lord's going to do. All right? But that is where the Lord moves. And I want to say to the visitors this morning, it was, man, brace yourselves, okay? We are not here to play church or to put up a perfect meeting. I hope that what you see this morning is that we're desperate for Jesus to do what he wants to do. And if that turns into chaos or whatever, I'm more than okay with that. And I know the leaders, we're more than okay with that. And so I want to urge you again, risk to invite people that you're trusting the Lord for. And I trust that we can fill that other side up with souls that we see getting saved. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning, God, we just want to bless you for everything that you've done this morning, God. I bless you for every healing, God. I bless you for every deliverance, Lord. I bless you for every dream that is being resurrected this morning in our hearts, God. We just acknowledge, God, that it's all you that's doing it, God. And I pray, God, just in the message that I'm going to share, and I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but we trust that you would resurrect a dream in our heart for this church where you placed us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, so we've had a couple of weeks where we looked at hospitality and just the why and the how. And I, by the way, I thought Baron did an excellent job last week. That was incredible. I was scared for when I don't want to host, just by the way, for those of you who were here. But it was really incredible. And so the reason why we do this, though, is I want to make it clear that we are not into behavior modification. All right? Our job is not to try and shape you to do all the right stuff, okay? We sang a song last week at the end, for those of you who were here, and the song's name is More Like Jesus, all right? I just, who was here last week? Can you guys remember that song? All right? I want to say, download it, listen to it. I think that song, just from my personal view, I think it's going to become an anthem for us as a church. I believe it, okay? Where there's this cry in our hearts to say, God, make me more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. All right? And this, what we're speaking about, even hosting and hospitality, it is not behavior modification, but it is something that, guys, we need to be more like Jesus. It's the desire in our hearts, make us more like Jesus. And just like there was this personal gift that I feel has been resurrected in my life this morning, this week, and that I need to be faithful with and steward. And I want to commit from my side. I'm going to do my best to be as faithful with this gift as I can. I'm going to do it. I'm going to risk with the Lord. Even this morning for us, the way we led the meeting, it was a risk. I said to Mike, we've done three songs, and then I said to him, I think we can risk with the Lord this morning. Okay, and I'm going to do it. I want to be faithful with it. Okay, but just as there are personal gifts, I think the Lord has given us as Josh Jen a gift that we need to be faithful with. Okay, and many of you know the story, but Josh Jen has been birthed in a house. It started in a house. It started in a lounge, and it moved from house to house, where people would gather in homes, gather together, devote themselves to apostolic teaching, gather around meals, breaking of bread, prayer. All right. And we started in houses, hospitality, hosting. And I think the reason why we're touching on this thing is because the gift that the Lord has given us to reach out to others, it's like we haven't been faithful with that. Just as I haven't been faithful with the gift of walking in signs and wonders, it's like we as a church are letting this one slip a little. You guys agree? All right. And instead of houses being an outreach opportunity and a time to really display Jesus, our houses has become fortresses. And a castle, and a safe haven from the rest of humanity, okay? And I believe that God is just stirring us in again. He says, it's a gift I've given you, Justine, to reach the lost. That side, I believe souls are going to get saved by hosting and hospitality. I really believe it. Even us hosting here, you might think, for comms and duty, why every Sunday do we have to put up these curtains and take it down afterwards? Because we want to host well. And when visitors come, and we have this hall, it's probably the most terrible hall, but that's what we have, okay? And that's what we're going to work with until the Lord blesses us with a venue, all right? But until then, we want to be good hosts for when people come in, that it's not like, hello, 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 okay? But there's something different, a warmth. And that was quite good, actually. Anyway, but, all right? And so, I want to touch today, let me just see. So today I want to touch on a little bit about the how, okay? The how to host. How do we host? What does it look like, right? Because I think we can easily disqualify ourselves like, why I cannot host. And I just want to create, like, I want to stretch our thinking of what hosting can look like, okay? And I pray, my hope is that I can give you tools of how we can be good hosts when we have little and when we have a lot. When we don't have a venue and when we want to do have a venue. That we have tools of how we can be faithful with this gift. Amen. So the first thing, my brain is in a million places at the moment. But the thing with hosting is it starts here. All right, it starts in the heart. It's an open heart before we have an open home. And I think sometimes there's issues in the heart that prevents us from not hosting. Even if you have a big house, like Raul said, with 5 bedrooms and 1 guy staying there, there's sometimes something of the heart that prevents us to host. And I want to touch on that quickly. And the first thing is pride, okay? And that is evil in the sight of the Lord, okay? Pride is not cool. Like, it says that God resists the proud. And we don't want to be resisted by God, okay? And so pride oftentimes looks like, guys can't come to my house because if they see what it looks like, they might not invite me to church ever again, okay? And so this, for me, the biggest compliment, I don't know if Denise ever will remember this, but when I just moved to Melkbos, I gave Denise a lift once. And the first thing she said to me was like, your car was so clean. I don't know if you remember that, okay? That was probably the only time, but I heard it, okay? And I took it. And after that, I was scared to give Denise a lift again because I know the car isn't clean, all right? But there's something like, we're scared to invite guys to our houses because we don't have the perfect bed or whatever. And I just want to say, man, it doesn't need to be perfect, okay? That is something that is not a qualification ever in the Bible of your house needs to be speakers clean, 2 extra bedrooms and a kif bed for someone to stay, all right? That's a lie. And so pride, if that's something that you're scared of what people are going to think, notice it and say, Lord, that's a good opportunity to become humble, all right? And I think I mentioned it now, but the idol of privacy. And I understand that we are super busy and we're meeting people a lot of times and we're here and then our houses is like a safe place. But I think, man, you'll be amazed what the Lord does when we are in one another's houses. We had a gem of a meeting this week with Carlitz and them just, but it was in a house and it was safe and and the Lord did a lot of stuff just by gathering in one another's houses. And so I wanna urge you, if your house is a castle at the moment, okay, with barbed wire fencing to keep everyone out, I want to encourage you to risk with the Lord and invite them in, okay? Make it a place of openness, not an idol of privacy, your heart, all right? For some, you might have had a bad experience, okay? Who've had a bad experience with hosting someone before, okay? I've had some interesting people in my house before, okay? But that is also not a qualification. The Lord said, sometimes you're going to host angels unaware. Sometimes not, okay? But so if you had a bad experience and that is the reason why you say, in my life, no one will ever stay in this house again, I want to encourage you to lay that before the Lord and say, Jesus, it was for you anyway. All right? And we open our houses again. And the second one is real, where it's fear, okay? And Dylan might be the one speaking about this the most with him all, having all kinds of people in their house. But sometimes we fear for, I don't have kids yet, before I feared for my wife's safety. Like, who is this oak coming into my house, okay? And we fear for stuff. But I want to urge you that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. Yes, he's given us wisdom so we can pray about it and then we can set certain boundaries in place and whatever. But fear is of, I don't know who this person is. Unless it's boring, I'm not going to host anyone else, okay? No. We open our houses and we just never know who it's going to be, all right? And so it starts with the cup of water. And you remember that Jesus said, even if you offer me a cup of water, I need a quick story. Flip, I'm going to rush through this. Okay, quick story. So 2 weeks ago, Mike preached and said, Jesus said, even if you offer water to me, to the least of these, it's like you do it to me. Yeah? And so there's a story in Durbanville. That's the first Sunday they preached on hosting. There were 5 salvations, okay? Now get this, here's why. There was an unsaved guy in the meeting who just before he came to church, there was a beggar who knocked on his window and asked, sir, can I please have a cup of water? And he shouted at him to go away. And he gets to church and they preach and he said, Jesus says, even if it is like you offer a cup of water to the least of these, it's like you do it to me. He shrieked in fear as the fear of God fell upon him when he realized it was like he chased Jesus away and he got saved. How's that? All right? That's amazing. I love stories like that. But can you imagine sitting there 2 minutes ago, you shouted to chase someone away who specifically just asked for a cup of water? That's heavy, all right? So it starts with that. And I want you guys to be aware of that. Next time you see someone, it was so beautiful. Daryl called me in the week, and he said, sorry, just hang on quickly. Just want to give the beggar next to the street something. I love it, all right? And he was like spontaneous, like minister to someone or just bless someone with something. And I smoked that, and I want you to be aware of that. That's where people are laughing at my English Afrikaans here, all right? But laughing, yeah. But So I want you guys to be aware of that. And so, let me just see where I can, what I, and so it can start small, all right? It doesn't need to start with a five-course meal for a week every day. Yeah? We can start small, but the position of our hearts is to host. And so I want you to be, sometimes it's the fear of, I actually don't have enough cash to do it. I want to say, yes, be wise with your finances, all right? But sometimes, if you feel the Lord nudge you to go for it, do it, okay? Is my wife even here? I can't see her. I see a kid's church. Okay, cool. So, but we've had hundreds of people in our house since we got married, okay? And our budget doesn't allow it. And we've just always said, Lord, if you say so, we'll do it. And there's probably three nights of the week, people staying at our house. Some of you in church, some outside. And we're just risking with the Lord. And sometimes all you're going to get is the prenutria that I would have had the next morning. Sometimes I'll make you a steak, all right? But I risk with the Lord. And it's been a blessing, and we've never had lack. And so I want to say, sometimes if you feel that nudge, we in Russia, the one year now, Russia, even the average population are poorer than South Africans. And so meat in Russia is like crazy expensive. And I met this one friend of mine, who today is a good friend. But there was one year when I went to stay with him, slept on the couch in the lounge. It was Kif. They couldn't speak a word English, so we communicated via Google Translate. And the one day he says, I wanted to invite your team, but they're poor, okay? This is a poor, poor family. He says, I wanted to invite the team, and we're going to, he says, braai, okay? And so I'm like, okay, I don't even know how you heard about braai, but we're going to braai. So we had to go to three different butcheries to buy enough meat, all right? Because there isn't meat. And so for 20 people, we bought pork steak, because that's all they had, 16,000 rand, all right? 16 grand. For pork steaks for a group of people, all right, and he wouldn't allow me to pay a cent, all right, and he just felt the Lord told him to risk with it, and we had a braai. It was amazing, all right. We just saw braai, but today the elders in the church that we relate with, and the Lord, he was, long story short, he was the minister of defense for Vladimir Putin, all right, and the hardest of hardest guy. And the Lord touched him, and he moved away, and he got saved. And the guy that was supposed to be the toughest guy in Russia became an elder in the church. And he risked with the Lord, and he blessed us generously. But he hosted well. And today, I can see the fruit on his life spiritually, which I believe was paid in rands in many ways. And so, I don't know why I told that story, but I want to dare you to risk with the Lord. All right? We just never know what the Lord does. That's the thing. Is you never know what the Lord does through our obedience. All right. So, first thing, entry point hosting, okay? It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't need to be for a week. You can invite someone off the church to your house. And I want to encourage you, if you've never done that, today is a great opportunity. All right? Just invite someone over for a meal. Start with that. That is hosting well. Even if the dishes are stacked this high, because that's the case at our house at the moment. All right? So, even if that's the case, bring them over and make a meal. Don't let them wash the dishes. You do it. But you start to invite someone over. I want to challenge you, invite your neighbor over. If you've never met your neighbor, invite your neighbor over and say, hey, come and have a meal with us. And we just start to host people, have people in our fortresses, okay? Invite them into the safe place. And so I want to give you some practical tips just for, because during 4-12, there will be people coming over. And many of you are hosting. And so I want to, and I don't have a clue who the people are that I'm hosting at the moment, man. And so I want to say, communication beforehand helps a lot, okay? Just to let the guy know, hey, you coming to stay with me? When and where do I need to get to you? What's your name? What do you look like? Okay, get a photo if you need to go fetch him somewhere. And just say, hey, so looking forward to have you. I think we're going to have an amazing time. And we just communicate like it to set the expectation very high for you to fulfill when they get there. All right? And then I want to encourage you, be welcoming. I once stayed with a family, and I think I saw them 1 hour out of 3 days that I stayed there, all right? They let me into their house, and then they just disappeared into the room, and I was so insecure. Okay, what the heck am I doing wrong? And so that was an unpleasant experience, okay? So I did see them again after, and it was better, all right? But I want to say, be welcoming. Make the people feel at home. The point is not to just give someone a bed, but it is to host them well. All right. So I want to say, entertain them. Like Boren said, get kids that can entertain them. We're not there yet, so I have to do it for now. But make them feel at home. All right. I want to say, even for international kids, do not be put off by language barriers. All right. Like I said, in Russia, some of my best friends today can't speak a word of English, and we literally put our computers next to one another and Google Translate it. And they really are my closest friends in Russia at the moment. And so I want to say, if you get that guy, make a plan, all right? But host them well. Don't freak out if the guy can't speak a word of English. It'll be a blessing to them and to you. All right. Everybody still okay? And then one last very practical one. How about the Wi-Fi password? Okay. So that is a big blessing. If you don't have uncapped, just tell them we have a cap, all right? And then don't get angry. Yes, funny story. We had some Brazilians in our house the other day, and they asked for the Wi-Fi password. And I'm like, oh, sure, there's a lot left. We didn't have uncapped. And at the end of the month, I just can't understand what happened. Like, where is our... And it's okay, all right? It was a blessing to them. They got to speak to their family. It's a joy. So, but don't wait for them to, hey, sorry, can I please have the Wi-Fi password? Just say, welcome in our house. Here's the password. Make yourself at home. What do you want to drink? And we host people well. Is that cool? That's how practical is this. I never get this practical, all right? And then I want to say, I think hosting for us here, okay? And this is for our members and for our leaders especially. Guys, I want to urge you. We have an opportunity to host people in this building. I believe that the Lord is going to give us a venue one day. No amens to that. All right? there was one here, okay? I believe that the Lord is going to give us a venue one day. But for now, we have this. And we can host people well. So I want to urge you in your communities, man, when you see that your commie's on duty next week, don't go, oh. All right? Check Mike lachig, okay? I want to urge you, man. Position your heart to say, God, it's an opportunity to invite the lost. It's an opportunity to bless someone. It's a privilege. Lord, we're going to do it well. And I want to say, just on a little side note now, don't address this completely, but I want to say, for the members, you actually need to be on time to host someone. All right? It's not going to happen if the visitors are here at 10 to 9 and you rock up at 9:45. All right? I want to urge you, and this is something that we're slacking a little bit, for us to host people well, you need to be here. And so I want to encourage you, if you wake up in the morning and you're going to say, hey, it's okay if I come at 9:15, it's just an announcement or whatever, check your heart, okay? And just say, no, man, it's a privilege for us to host people. I hate to see visitors sitting alone in chairs and there's barely any of us at church. I just want to, okay, anybody with me? Yes, I see some big eyes, yeah, okay? This is real, okay? This is us hosting. As I want to urge you, it is something we have to steward well, which the Lord has given us. And I actually want to say that it's not okay for visitors to be here before us. I don't think so. Yeah? Now, we can debate. Now, I have grace for when something happens on the morning. And please hear me. I'm not a drill sergeant, okay? Like, I'm not that guy. But I think it is something that we learn how to be faithful with. And for us who've been doing it for a while, you sort of just get into the groove. We have to be at church at 7. For years, I had to be at 7. And it was part of the routine. Now, sometimes I get lucky, and I'm like, I have to be at 8. And it's part of the routine. And you get used to it. And I know I don't have kids. And okay. Because many of you were thinking that just now. All right? And I want to say, Boren gets it right with his kids to be here at 8. Okay? It's Leanne. Yes.
Can I say this? Everyone, moms and dads, are on time the whole week. For their jobs. They'll never be late. With their kids, with everything else. Church is nothing different. It's sometimes harder because it's a spiritual battle, but then we fight those battles. Yeah. It's not an excuse.
Yeah. Thank you. That is cool. Liesl has kids. All right. And so and I want to say this. I think where the problem lies is the value. Again, the heart. All right. You know you're going to get fired from your job if you come late every day. I'm not going to fire you, okay? But if there's a value that the Lord is going to do something and I want to see people get saved and we want to host them well, I'll be here. All right? So I'm going to stir you. I'm going to urge you next time. Let's be faithful with this, what we have. All right? And I even want to encourage us, guys. Sometimes, like, and I love it, the fact that everybody asks me about how I want stuff. I don't have an eye for neatness at all, okay? Like, I'm not, what is it, OCD at all. Like, I did not get that thing, okay? So I won't see something that is wrong. Some of you are seeing when the board outside the hall is not in place where it was 2 weeks ago, okay? I want to ask you, if you see that and it's going to be an issue, move it. Because I don't, all right? I don't see it unless it's like a real crisis. I want to urge you to take initiative to that we can make this place as welcoming as we can. Because you'll be surprised when we welcome someone well, and I hope the visitors, this is their feedback afterwards, okay? I do pray that, okay? But if we can welcome someone well and we make them feel at ease, it's sometimes very easier for the Lord to touch their hearts. I fully believe that. And so I want to urge us that we can be faithful with this because the aim is to see people come into the kingdom. That is why we do it. If we invite them into our houses, the aim is to see that they can see the Lord in us. It's for us to be more like Jesus, that they can see Jesus. If it's someone part of us, I want to bless them, man. I want to host them well, that they can be refreshed by Jesus when they leave my house. So, does that make sense? All right. So, with Martha and Mary, and we all know the story in the Bible with, Martha was just busy in the kitchen, okay? Martha was busy doing stuff, getting stuff ready, almost spending money on Jesus to make him feel welcome. And Mary was with Jesus. Now, both of those are good, okay? Jesus loved going to their house in the first place because they hosted him well. When they invited people, when they invited him, he came. And so he loved it to be there, but there was something that it's not just about how much you can spend on people during that week or weekend that they stay with you, but it's to be with them as well. So I wanna stir you to not only go for how much we can do for guys and take them all over Cape Town and whatever, but to hang with them, play board games, spend time with them, bribe with them, get into their lives, but host them well, all right? Play Catan and beat them, all right? And so I want to urge you, and so this is very practical. I'm not normally this practical when it comes to hosting, and you might ask the question why, but I think, really, I believe this to my core, that it's a gift that the Lord has given us to host people well. And I remember when I just moved to Josh and Markbos, I didn't earn a salary for the first month because, you know, you move here and then you work a month and you get paid. And so, and I had zilch, all right? I was freaking out. And so I was here. And I clearly remember the first month that I stayed here, I made food for myself 3 times in a month that I stayed here. And it was incredible just the way that people hosted me. And I was in people's, sometimes I forced my way in there, sometimes I was invited, okay? But I was like, I took it quite serious, the what is in your fridge is mine and what is in my fridge is yours. I didn't have a fridge. So I was like very open to that and I went for it. But there was something in our congregation that stood out for me that is a gift that the Lord has given us as Malkbos as well, to be hosting well and care well for one another. And I want to say that did something to my heart, the way you guys blessed me. It really did. Man. And let us be that again for others. I saw a video in the week as well that was Karina. Karina shared just a few years ago when they redid Charles and Joe's house, that story. Man, I cried my eyes out when I saw that. I was like, what is that? It's 10 years ago, I think. There was something of the Lord in that. Where they redid Charles and Joe's whole house and just blessed them. When the time they came back, it was like a brand new house, okay? I saw Jesus in that. And I think it's time for us to do that again, okay? And I'm not just saying this because I want to redo my house. You're not allowed to because I don't own it, okay? But I think there's a culture of honoring one another and blessing one another and hosting well and serving us in the body together that people can see the Lord through us. All right. So I want to ask you, can we commit this morning, and this is for me bigger than hosting this morning, but can we commit as Joshin to be faithful with the gift that the Lord has given us? Oh, well, Lord, thanks, Mike. Okay. Can we commit to be faithful with the opportunity that the Lord has given us to see those souls increase that we're trusting for into the safe side? So, Lord, I'll be faithful with it. I'll do it. I'll give up my castle. And I'll invite people in. Because I know if I do it for them, it's like I do it for you. That's what the Lord said. All right? And we do it again, God. And we trust Him that He'll do more than what we can ever think or dream. And bigger than hosting, I want to ask you, that's just what the Lord has resurrected in my heart this week. I want to urge you guys, stir up the gift. Stir up that which the Lord has laid in you. Guys, I preached just a while ago, but I'm going to preach it every week. Why did God make you part of us? Why are you here? What do you desire for us as a church? And what is your role in it? All right? And if you see that, if you spot it, I'm going to urge you, let's do it again. But God has placed all of us here for a reason, that we can reach this town. Can we do it again? Yes, we will, Lord. Amen. Okay. So we're gonna respond to the Lord soon for that. But I wanna also say, I know there's a couple of visitors here today. And man, today has been, for me, one of my favorite mornings. I just love it when the Lord moves, okay? That is what we desire. And my prayer is that today, that you would have seen that Jesus is alive. That He's alive, right? He's not just a Jesus we read about and we speak about, but He is in us and He's living through us. And can we close our eyes for a second? And I wanna say to the visitors today that this Jesus that you've seen move today amongst us, it says that He wants to come and make His home. How interesting is that? His home in you. And that we can host the Lord. The Bible says that, behold, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. Would you let me in? And we need to host Jesus in us as well. He wants to make His home in us. And for us here as a church, we love the fact that Jesus is in us. And there's been a time for many of us where we had to say, God, we want to invite you in to come and make your home in our lives. I know that you paid the price for me on the cross 2,000 years ago, and I want a part of that. Would you come and make your home in me? And maybe for some this morning, or maybe you've been here like quite a few times before, but you just realize, man, I don't know if Jesus is in me and His home is in me, and that He. You know, that He came and made His home in me, and when He knocked, that I opened that door. And today you want to say, God, I want to open that door, and I want you to come in and have fellowship with me. I want you to come and make your home with me. And if you today want to just respond to that and say, Jesus, I want to invite you into the knocking and say, come and live in me. I want to know you. Don't you just want to raise your hand and I'll quickly want to pray for you. If there's anyone here today that want to say, I want to invite you in, Jesus. I believe there's someone here this morning that needs to respond to the Lord and just say, God, I want you to come and make your home in me. Is there anyone like that? If that's you, don't you just want to raise your hand quickly? I can see where you are. Okay, cool. And then for the rest of us, can we stand together? And I do want us just to pray this together, or at least just with our hearts, to say, Lord, we want to be faithful with the gift that You've given us as a church to host people in our houses. I believe it's unique, Lord, and we want to steward it well, God. And so, God, we just as a church today, if you want to commit to that, don't you just want to say, just raise your hand and say, Lord, I commit to open my castle and to let people in. And to see the lost get saved, and even to see believers just getting refreshed. I want to say, Lord, I want to be a good steward of that gift which is given us, God. So we commit, Lord, to say we want to be good, hospitable, is that a word, church? And let people in, God. We want to be more like Jesus in our houses, Lord. We commit to that, God. And then, Lord, we just want to pray, if there's something, just even as that word came after a while, of gifts that need to be restored, and for us to dream again, and there's something that the Lord has touched today, gifts that has gone dead, but that needs to be restored. It can be physically, it can be spiritually, it can be practically, like music instruments, but there's something that you want to say, God, restore to me that. I want to resurrect that thing, and I want to be faithful with the gift. Don't you just want to raise your hand? And I raise my hand for that, and I want to pray for us. Lord, we pray, God, stir up the gifts again, Lord, in us. I pray for more Sundays like this, God, that this will be like the smallest one almost, Lord. That we can just see You move in us again, God. I pray that none of us will just come to church and be a pew woman, Lord. But I pray that we will be those who function in that which You've entrusted to us, Lord. So God, there where we've been unfaithful or we didn't believe you, God, we just say again, we believe at your word, Lord, that if you say that the lost will see you by us hosting well, we'll do it, Lord. We believe you, Lord. And then we pray, stir up that in us, God. Come and make it alive. In Jesus' name, we trust you, God. We trust you, Lord. All right. Amen. Amen. Cool. Guys, thank you so much. So, good opportunity if you want to invite someone for lunch over. Go for it. Better even find someone you don't.